Well, guys, he is risen. The tomb is empty, the grave is defeated, and Jesus is alive. And we gather together on Resurrection Sunday on Easter, and we say, like, woo-hoo, Jesus is alive. But let me tell you this, he is alive every single day. Every single day. And the power that raised Christ from the grave, that brought him out of the tomb, is the same power that's available to us. So why do we want to continue to live powerless like we're dead? Because today I want to talk about going from death to life. Because if Jesus is still in the grave, if Jesus is still in the grave, then just some of Christianity, some of the ideas were pretty good, but it doesn't really mean anything. If Jesus is still in the grave, then sin wins. No one could take our place. If Jesus is still in the grave, then death has the final word. But if Jesus walked out of the tomb, and he did, then everything changes. I was telling Jason today, we've been talking about these cults, that these people, like, that people post stuff, and it's like they find, like, one obscure little passage in the Bible somewhere, and they build a whole religion on it, you know? And I said, you know what? I'm going to start my own cult, and I invite y'all all to be a part of it, because my cult is going to be the truth, the truth. Because here's the thing. I've talked to people who have... maybe not come to faith. I can't believe the stories in the Bible. I can't believe, you know, it was just a myth. I'll tell you what a myth is, and a really good one, is the Iliad and the Odyssey, you know, with the harpies and all of the stuff that happens there, and Hercules and all, you know, there's some great stories. That's a myth. You know why? Because it was not true. This is true because Jesus was alive, and I'll tell you how I know. There was a man, Josephus, who did a lot of history. He wasn't a Christ follower. In fact, he was a strong Jew and did not want to, you know, have anything to do with this Christian movement. But yet he recognized that there was a man named Jesus that went around preaching, that went around healing, that went around doing these miracles, that really happened. And not only that, there was a body that was buried in a tomb, and when the women went back at the end of the week, the body wasn't there. Oh, okay, well, they might have stolen the body. Well, let me tell you in my cult what the truth says. The truth says that there were over 500 people. Other people saw Jesus, talked to him, touched him, ate with him after this happened. So don't tell me that this is just a book of myths and just some good ideas, because if Jesus is still dead, then you might as well throw it all out. It's all lies. But I'm telling you, the truth is Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus lived for there before he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what he's doing, he's interceding on our behalf in this very moment. When I screw up, he's going, hey, Father, forgive Paul. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's right. I don't most of the time. So there's my cult. Someone once asked a missionary, so what makes Christianity different? You know, why should we believe you as opposed to these other religions? Because don't all religions kind of, you know, we all kind of point to a need of a higher power, a God or something? And he said, well, here's the thing. Every other religion has a founder who is dead. Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. Whatever you want to study, they're dead. You know who isn't dead? And again, goes back to my cult. You know who isn't dead? Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. And today we celebrate that Jesus is not in the tomb. He is alive, and we serve a risen Savior. Not just some clever myth. So I want to share a verse with you out of Matthew, and it's one that we've been studying. We've been studying the last week of Jesus for several weeks, and I want to start in chapter 28 again, and I'm going to start in verse 5, I believe. But the angel said to the women, and this is Mary and the other Mary, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do not be afraid. He's not here, for he has risen just as he said. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. The women came to the tomb expecting death. They brought spices. They were going to prepare the body. They took Jesus down almost at the beginning of the Sabbath, and you couldn't have that happen. So they quickly put him in this tomb and covered it. And so the women were going back to really take care of the body, to prepare it, to make sure that it was done properly. They came to mourn. They came to finish what they thought had happened, and these burial customs that had to happen. But instead of death, you know what they found? They found life. They found an empty tomb. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty, and the angel was sitting there saying, "He's not here. Check it out." Have you ever gone somewhere and you expected some kind of outcome, but you were completely surprised because it didn't turn out that way? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. I went into the musical Cats thinking it was going to be a good thing. That was the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Sorry about that, Sylvia. But I'm just picking on you. I just don't like Cats, and I certainly don't like the musical Cats. Anyway, enough about that. But I'm talking about you go into something dreading it. You're thinking like, oh, this is going to be horrible. And you get there, and all of a sudden, it's a celebration. And it's something exciting. And I hear sometimes when we plan something and somebody comes and says, yeah, I really wasn't sure I was going to come, but I'm so glad I came because it turned out to be so much better. That's what happened to these ladies. They went to the tomb with this one expectation, and when they came back, it was completely changed because the resurrection changes everything. Everything. It's not just a miracle. It's the miracle, and it's the miracle that changes everything. It proves that Jesus said he is who he is. It validates every promise that he ever made. It confirms that sin and death will not have the final word. And without the resurrection, the cross looks like defeat. It's horrible. But with the resurrection, we see it was really victory all along. Another thing about the resurrection defeats sin and death. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 and 22. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you see that? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. For as in Adam, and we're all descendants of Adam, we all die. But in Christ, we will be made alive. Paul makes it clear. Jesus didn't just die and just didn't rise for himself. He died and rose so that we could experience eternal life. Sin entered the world through Adam. Death followed sin, and every human being has fallen under the weight of that reality. I know sometimes as we were sitting around in my mom's room and we're singing and telling stories and stuff, and as the family's gathered all around her, we're sharing some things. I didn't remember. I acted like I never knew. But between my Aunt Gwenny, who y'all knew, and my mom, there was another daughter that died when she was real young. It's like, Mom, I never even knew she had another sister. And Margie and my sister Margie and my brother David and my brother Danny are looking at me like I'm stupid because we've got her picture in a cabinet right there in my living room. It's like, I didn't know who the lady was. I didn't know. It's like some girl or whatever. I say all that because what happened, my grandmother was grew up in the Catholic Church, and because the baby died before she was actually baptized, that Catholic Church back in the early or in the 50s, they shunned her. Oh, she's going to hell because you did not have your baby baptized. And so my grandmother said, well, I'll fix that. I'll become a Methodist, you know. And so we grew up in the Methodist church. I didn't know that's how we became Methodist, but I guess that's how we became Methodist and kind of grew up that way. Jesus didn't die so that when we died, we would just be lost. Jesus rose so that we would have eternal life when we connect to him. Paul calls it the first fruits. Think about this. Think about a courtroom. You walk into the courtroom and you know you're guilty. And you know you're going to be convicted. The evidence is overwhelming. The verdict's going to be clear. But then someone steps up at the last minute and says, hey, you know what? Give me their sentence. Let them go. Give me their sentence. That's what the cross did for us. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, let me do this for them. And so he took on all the weight of all of our sin, past, present, future. And he took that sin upon him on the cross. And so that's what the cross means. It's like, that is awesome. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is he paid that price. He died and was sacrificed for us, but then he rose. It would be like going into the courtroom, someone takes your penalty, and you say, like, whew, okay, thank you. I don't know how to thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You go out. 5 minutes later, he comes walking out, buying you a Starbucks, and you're going like, how did that happen? Say, well, I've already paid your price. It's done. And that's what the resurrection is. Jesus didn't just pay the price and say, okay, go on. He paid the price and then came so that we could live and live in power now. Because Jesus rose, our sin has been paid. Death has been defeated. The enemy has been disarmed. Jesus' resurrection says, you know what? It is finished. Tetelestai. And you know what? It worked. And that's what he's saying. Death is no longer the end of the story. A third thing about going from death to life, the resurrection brings us new life now. I remember in one of our men's meetings, we were discussing a book, a John Eldridge book that we were reading, and one of the things that people, the idea that we have oftentimes is like, you know what, we're just going to try to live the best that we can. We're going to give our lives to Christ. We're going to live the best that we can, but our reward is really waiting for us on the other side. I want to tell you, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus wants to, and I hate to quote Joel Osteen, but you can have your best life now if it's in Christ. Not if you're paying me lots of money and hoping that you're going to get something out of it. But if your life is in Christ, you can have and begin living a new life now. In fact, Jesus says the old has passed away. The new has come. You're no longer that old person. It's been put to death. You are a new creation. And we can live in that power now. It's not just about eternity. It's about today. Paul calls Jesus the first fruits. That means his resurrection is the beginning of something that continues. And what happened to him is something that's going to happen to us. We will be raised again. First fruits in farming simply meant that the first part of the harvest, you would gather that, and it would guaranteed you that there was going to be more coming. It was proof that their rest was on the way. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was God saying, you know what? That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning that my son has come back. That's just the beginning, because now every single one of you will be able to live forever. Because Jesus lives, our dead hearts right now can come alive. Because Jesus is alive, if you are in a broken life, fractured relationships or whatever, they can be restored. Because Jesus is alive, addictions that you are going through can be broken in the powerful name of Jesus. Marriages can be healed in the powerful name of Jesus. Your purpose can be renewed in the powerful name of Jesus. And resurrection is not just something that we believe. Resurrection is something we experience, y'all. You don't have to stay stuck in something that feels dead, because Jesus brings life into dead places. He turns graves into gardens. Another thing about going from death to life is the resurrection commands us. And it makes us want to be sent out. The resurrection sends us out. In chapter 28, verse 10, it says this. Jesus is walking. He comes up to them and he says, greetings. You know, And he's talking to them, and they took hold of his feet and his hands and worshiped him. And then Jesus said this. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell." And before he ascended back up into heaven, his commandment was to go, preach and teach, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. The first response we should have to the resurrection is not to sit still, but to be excited and to go. The women were sent, and they became the first messengers of this resurrection. Then the disciples were sent. If you discovered the cure for a deadly disease, if you discovered this, you wouldn't keep it to yourself. What would you do? You would try to tell everyone. You would share it urgently. And that's what Easter is. As we are sitting around, you know the situation with my mother. Today will probably be the day. As we watch the hours go down, it is, we think it's actually in the final hours. And so if I had no hope, if I did not believe in the resurrection, then that would be all there is. It's like, hey, hate to see you go, Mom, but that's all there is. But we know that that's not all there is. We know that there is life on the other side. One of the things she said to me that was, well, y'all know my mom, typical. If she was going to make sure that you guys know, she wasn't yelling at you when she was telling you how to load the dishwasher, because she was telling us how she learned that from her cousin Rennie Reynolds in Ohio, and that's just the way it's supposed to be done. But I wasn't yelling at anybody, and I'm going like, yeah, you were, Mom. And she goes, and you know something, Paul? I'm ready to go because there are more people on that side that want me and need me than here. And I reminded her, you don't have to be in a hurry to go because they'll still be there waiting on you. You know, you've got eternity to be with them, you know. That's what Easter is. It's a hope of something better, something new, new life where there was death, where there was hopelessness. And our mission here at Three Point Bible Church is simple. Love God with everything that's in you, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as Christ loved us, and then to make disciples. Our vision is to see people's lives transformed by God's amazing love and power. And that transformation only comes apart because the tomb is empty. We love God because He first loved us in Christ. We love others because that resurrection power changes us, and it changes how we see other people. And we make disciples because this new life that we are experiencing is pouring out of us, and it is attracting to them. Easter is not the final culmination. Okay, we celebrate Christmas, little baby Jesus is born. Now Easter, he dies, now he's risen again. We go collect some Easter eggs, and then we don't do anything the rest of the year. No. Easter is the beginning, it's the sending point. It's stepping to the edge of the diving board. Now you've got to go. The tomb is empty, and everything changes because of it. There was a famous story of a pastor who was sitting around with a bunch of kids on the floor, and whenever you get kids on the floor, they asked, what was that show? Kids ask the darndest things. Wasn't that a show? Am I dating myself now? Is that it? If Barney would have said it, you probably would have got it. Anyway, there was a famous story, and as the pastor's sitting there, the child says, why do they put fences around all those cemeteries? And so the pastor was like, well, why do you think they put the fences around the cemeteries? And the boy looked up at him and says, I think it's so that no one can get out. That would be a good idea, but I know someone who did get out. Stone was rolled away. He stepped out of that tomb. He gave us new life, and that new life is available to us as we give our lives back to Him. Our past does not define us. Our sin does not own us. Our death in this world is not the end, because Jesus went from death to life, and so can we. Jesus, thank you so much for this new life. Thank you that the tomb is empty and hope is alive. That we thank you, Father, that sin has been defeated and death has been conquered. And Father, just transform us by your resurrection power. Send us out to love you, to love others, and to make disciples. Make us people who carry life into a world that feels dead. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.